Hi guys, welcome back. I want to talk about friendship. Like I said in the last podcast, I talked about toxic friendship and someone said they could not find the first one I did. The first one I did was pretty early on. You need to go back maybe on the first episode. I'm going to talk about it here too. But you need to go back to maybe the first season, not episode, the first season or the second season. It's right there. Also, I did another one on hoovering tactics when it comes to toxic friendships. And I will talk about that here too. But I don't want to go back and look at what I said before because I don't want to repeat myself. So, but I have had some experiences recently that I bring to light. Like I said, bring to light. I've had some experiences. I have seen some things with other people. I have seen some things with me that I want to talk about. So a toxic friendship is a friendship where one person is trying to dominate the other person. And most people, it's not that they are afraid of that person. They're just sitting back and they're watching and they're like, is this really happening? At first, they are unsure if this person is doing it or not. And not to be judgmental, what they would do, they would sit back. But as time go on, then you realize, okay, I'm in a toxic relationship. I'm in a toxic friendship here with this person. And you could about sense it. It starts off slow. And it's, I say it start off slow with snide remarks. The best thing to do with somebody come in with a snide remark is to stop them. Stop them right away. I remember recently, and I said this on the last toxic friendship or hoovering tactic. I have two episodes out there talking about toxic friendship and hoovering tactics and all of that. But I think I said this on the last podcast. I remember I was talking to someone. She's supposed to have been a friend. And she slid in the B word. She was like, "Oh, bitch." And I had to bag it up. You see how I said the word B? I'm still pissed off about it. But I had to bag her up and I had to tell her, "Oh, no, I don't do that." So it starts off little with snide remarks here and snide remarks there. And with a laugh. They're very passive aggressive, these people. And they would say things and they would throw in a laugh. Ha, ha, ha. See, watch for that. Watch for that laugh. Or you could say something and they could be very dismissive of what you're saying. You are getting in a toxic friendship in the beginning when they start to dismiss you. You stop them. I stop people all the time. When someone, if I'm saying something and someone talks over me, I stop them. I continue on saying what I'm saying because I know if I don't say anything, this is going to turn into a toxic friendship. So I say something. So you have them being dismissive of what you're saying and you have this snide remarks. Another thing recently I learned is like, okay, you're going somewhere and they try to eat at the same place you're eating at. They do it on the sly. Let's say you're in the mall. So you're in the food court. And so you go here, they go there too. And then you say, "No, I don't want to eat there." And you go somewhere else. And they're like, "Oh, you don't want to eat there?" And then you go somewhere else. And then they say, "Okay, I'm going to eat here too." Or they'll probably suggest where you should eat at. They would do that too, because now they're getting bold with it. So now they'll say something like, "Oh, why don't we eat here?" And I'm getting ready to tell you why they are doing this. So let's say you said, "No, but I want to eat here." They might get a little angry. "Well, you ate there before. You ate there before." And because the reason why they're doing this, they want you to go first, and then they're going to tag their order onto yours. So it's like, cause you're standing there and you say something like, "Well, give me this, this, and this." And then they're going to come right up when you finish, right when they think you finish, and they are going to say what they want. And what they're trying to do is get you to pay for their food. That's what they're doing. And the person behind the counter will just assume, because as soon as you stop talking, saying, "Well, you know, give me the large fries," and then they come in and they say what they want, the person behind the counter is like, "Oh, okay." And they start to ring it up. Okay, that's another sign. That's all that is toxicity. You're building a relationship where this person is trying to dominate you. Okay, they're trying to control you, because that's what it is. When you're in a friendship where the other person is constantly doing things that's not aligning with how you feel, dismissing you, your thoughts, and what you want to do, they're trying to control you. It goes down to control. And you will notice too, a lot of these people, they don't have any friends. When you meet them, there's no friends, because they have done the same thing, the same thing, the same thing year after year. So now a lot of people know them. And when they get around about 40, there are no friends. They don't have anybody. So they would do that too. Another thing they would do, as soon as they meet someone, a new friend, a new girlfriend, they're not calling you as much anymore. They're on to her. They're talking to her. But somewhere that friend knows, that friend caught on to that friend, caught on to her. So she hurry up and got away from her. So now she's back with you. So catch on to that. When you are in a friendship like that and the person is quiet, you're not hearing from them. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're not hearing anything. It's because they met someone new. But that new person is not tolerating their mess. So the new person move on. The new person look at them as weird, whereas you gave them a chance. You didn't look at them so weird. You gave them a chance. And then what they do, they turn around and try to control you. Okay. So when you don't hear from them and then they slither on back like a snake, it's because they met someone new. And the new person was like, this is a problem here, and stop answering their call. So now they back with you. And when they get back with you, they're sort of frustrated because the other person did not tolerate their mess. And this is where I want to say the hoovering tactic come in yet. But let's wait a minute before I talk about that, because when they come back, they're real sweet and they drawing you back in, and then it starts all over again. So let's talk about the hoovering tactic. This is when the hoovering tactic comes in. Let's say now you have decided that this person is weird, controlling. You have sensed those things and now you want to get away, but you've been there the longest. And what you don't know, they are depending on you. Okay, they might not say it and it might not seem like it to you, because they are the one that's controlling you or trying to control you. And you may think they really got it going on when you know they don't. Okay, so when they see you trying to get away, you are their only friend. So they try these hoovering tactics. They try to lure you back in and lure you back in by trying to be different. Oh, girl, let's go here. Let's go there. Let's do this. They may even do something like, and you know, they hate to pay for things. Okay. They hate to pay for things. And they might do something like, oh, girl, I got you a gift. Oh, girl, let me take you out to dinner. Oh, girl, let me do this for you. They would do anything to get you to come back. That's the hoovering tactic, okay? And a lot of times when someone, the other friend, when she has made up her mind, she's done. And so this make the hoovering tactic get worse. Now they'll start to stalk you. They'll drive by your house. They'll walk by your door. They'll do this type of thing. They'll call you. They'll stalk your stock. They'll start stalking your social media pages. They would do stuff like that. And that's the hoovering tactic. That's when you need to start to reach out to the police and say, hey, I got this and this going on. What I need to do? You know, you need to say something like that. So that's what I was talking about when I said in the last podcast, I want to talk about toxic friendships, because a lot of people have been DMing me about it. Some people looked at the other podcast early on. I think that might be my second highest podcast. The first one was TJ and Amy, you know, from Good Morning America for from the, you know, the show they did in the afternoon. And my second one is The Toxic Friendship, because I'm sure of it, I go in really deep in that one. And then later on, I think around about November, I talked about the hoovering tactics. So you have to watch out for that. And it's not you. This person is doing this to everybody. Everybody they meet. Something is not right there. Okay? Something is not right there. So it's not you. They're doing it to everybody. Some people stick around. Some people not. The people that stick around feel like, you know, you are that person that's always rooting for the underdog. I'm like that. I used to root for the underdog. But then I realized something too. Yeah, there's some good people out there that you can root for. But the others, no. They're by themselves because of the things they have done to other people. And that's why they are alone. So when they get with you, you know, you have a heart and you stay lower than you should. You don't put in 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. And my thing is this, I have done this since I've been here. I just stopped calling. I stopped calling and I stopped answering. That's what I do when I realize I'm in a friendship where it's toxic. You know, it's not going as well. We're not on the same page or anything like that. I had went somewhere with this person, and I ordered, we went through the drive-thru, and I ordered some food, and they ordered some food too, but they never said, hey, here's your money. They were looking for me to pay for it. I realized then, okay, I see where this is going, you know. So I'm more like, because I know me, I'm more like a person that stop texting, stop calling, take a stand back, because I know me. I could be nasty. And I try hard not to be. So my best thing is to do when I run into these type of people is to remove myself. I don't want to be sitting around. I always, like I told I told a few girlfriends along the way. I'm a little older. I always say this too. If I have to talk to you in a manner that is so disrespectful, I do not need to be your friend, because I will do that. And so especially in my early years. But now I'm like, if I'm talking to you like that, if you got me to the point where I'm talking to you like that because you're being sly and you're being sneaky and you're doing underhand things behind my back, and now I have to correct you, I'm going to leave the friendship. It's the same thing with relationships. If I get to the point where you're doing something and now I have to step out of my comfort zone, out of my zen space, and talk nasty to you, no. Because I really believe you all that when you are being mean to someone and you're talking down to them, and it's really just talking down to them because they have done something. And let me tell you something about that too. That person that is underhanded and doing things to you, it's funny to them. Okay, it's funny. It's funny because they don't have that in them to realize that I did something wrong. And they're like, what's wrong with her? They got a bit of narcissistic in them. So it's more like, what I did to her, ha, 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 they move on. Whereas your pressure went up, you talking down to them, and you're wondering, you don't step out of your comfort zone, and you're wondering, oh my God, God saw that. And that's what I always wonder. Like, did God see me do that? He sees everything. So yes, he did. So the best thing, even though that person wronged you and you talk down to them, you're still wrong. You're still wrong. You're still wrong. You're being combative. You're still wrong. So the best thing I do is remove myself from the situation. So like I say, go back like in the early in my podcast, you would see it said toxic friendship. And then there's one that say not too long ago, somewhere in November, said hoovering tactics. And look at those two, because I think I go in a little bit deeper. I didn't want to go back and listen to them because I didn't want to say the same thing, you know, I've been here a year. Life is steady moving. I'm experiencing new experiences, and I have came across a couple of people, more than a few, that's toxic. That I knew the friendship would be toxic. Is it toxic or toxic? I always say toxic for some reason. Yeah, I'm stick with it. But anyway, I realized which way the friendship was going, and I decided to just, you know, move on from it because I like to, like I say, you know, I don't want to be talking like this and talking down to somebody. It makes me feel bad. And even though they wrong me, I'm just not that person. I'm mainly a very, very nice person. I like having fun. I like laughing. I like bringing people into my circle. I like going into other people's circle. I like doing what they like to do. And I'm sure the people that's for me like doing what I like to do. And a lot of toxic friendships, as you would see, and that is one-sided. That person want to do what they want to do. They don't care about what you want to do. It's all about what they want to do. That's another thing too. Also too, in toxic friendships, you could tell that person things about your relationship, your relationship with your man, you know, with your husband or with your partner, and they will always side with the other person instead of you. That's another way to tell this person is not for me. Or you could say something like, you could be suspicious of something, and maybe you could say, I think this happened, but I'm unsure. And right away, they would tell you, oh, that did not happen. Oh, this, da, 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 da. And, you know, so anytime you're hanging out with a person and they're not for you, and they're not for you because why? Everything you tell them, they are what? Against you. That let you know there, that tells you there that this person is not for you. This is not a great kind of friend. Now, granted, I've been here almost a year now. And recently, I have been meeting some really, really, really good girlfriends. I mean, they do things I like to do. I do things they like to do. We're on the same page. We're not making any sly remarks or snide remarks. We're not doing that or anything like that. You know, it's just good old wholesome friendship. Okay. So remember that when you end this kind of friendship and you try to break away, that's when they would start that hoovering tactic. Okay. And we said that was when they try to draw you back in. They would say anything to draw you back in. And I'm going to tell you something too. When you, a couple of times people will decide to go ahead and, okay, I'm going to go ahead and make this friendship work and you come back. So the person that's drawing you back in, the hoovering person, it gives them a sense of power. Like, ah, I got her. She's back. She's back again. I got her, you know. So they get some type of satisfaction from that, all right? So, and like I say too, and if you decide, like, I think it takes you two or three times before you decide to say, hey, when she used the hoovering tactic to draw you back in, and you're a kind person, you're a nice person, and the friendship starts again and all that kind of jazz. And then you decide, okay, this is it. And the reason why you go back, because, and I could tell this person, if you're out here listening, the person that's a hoovering person, that the person that always starts the friendship, like want to control that person, dominate that person. The reason why that person is taking you back, I'll tell you right now. The reason why that person is taking you back as a friend, because she feels sorry for you. That's the reason why. She feels sorry for you and she know you don't have any friends. She know that. She know you don't have any friends, so she take you back. All right, it's not because you feel like you got power and you drew her back in. Ha, 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 ha. No, it's not that. She feels sorry for you. So she takes you back. All right. And she might take you back two or three times because and if the person, the one that's trying to dominate the friendship and doing the hoovering tactics, if you take the time out, just take the time out and see all the work you have to put in to get that person back. Think about it. Who's looking crazy here? You are, because you're doing everything. You come in by her house. You're calling her every minute. You try to catch her when she leave her place. You know, you all do all of that. So the hoovering person, the person that's toxic, see, can you get some help? Okay, let's start with that first. Let's see, can you get some help? I might do a podcast on it, you know, and see what you could do to get some help. I was listening to a very popular female podcaster the other day, and I could tell that someone had bothered her. She's a person that I think about 3 or 4 years ago, a bunch of females got together and just tried to ruin her podcast, try to ruin her, and somehow she fought her way through it. But the thing about her, she was talking the other day, and she was talking about the Bible, and she was talking about how you could be friends with somebody, and you could tell by their face, they're acting like they're friendly, but you could tell by their face, the expression on their face. You know, she said that, I think she said the frown on their face, that they're not real. They're not real. And so she's right. You know, these people, they want to show, I always say this here, my big mama, my grandma, my big mama used to always say, she said this here, you can tell when someone get ready to do something. You can tell. She said, because it shows on their face. They might try to smile, but they have this ugly expression on their face. How they really feel shows on their face. And I remember I had this girlfriend, and I was about 14 years old, and I was over at my big mama's. And in Jackson, Mississippi, my big mama stayed on Bon Air. If anybody listening from Jackson, my big mama stayed on Bon Air, and she had said, I don't know why you hang around that girl. She got 15 heads coming out her neck. That tickled me at 14. I just hollered. She said, that girl got 14 heads or 15 heads coming out her neck. And my grandmother was right. And she was right. Every time this girl got ready to do something, even though she was smiling and laughing and da-da-da-da-da, if you really looked at it, she really wasn't smiling. It was more like a smirk. And it was more like a ha-ha, you know, that type of thing. It was more like that. And then she would do something. She knew she already went back and told some lie on you. And she would go to guys and lie on you, you know. And guys would, back in that day, in my generation, guys would just come to you and tell you, oh, she said this, you know. So these people really need help. Maybe I'll do a podcast on it, and maybe some of those toxic people will listen, and narcissistic people will listen, and maybe I'll do a little research and tell you how you can get some help. But I could tell you off the bat, too, is that if you just look back, if you're that person, and just look at yourself in the mirror and look around you and realize you have no friends. You have no friends. You're just sitting in the house watching Netflix. You're just driving by your old friend girls' houses because you probably have about 10 out there that drop you. You're just driving by their house wishing and hoping, you know. So the best thing to do, you know, is probably go get you some help. And the ones that, like me and the others, that bring you in, and I would say this here, as soon as you realize what kind of friendship that is best to get out of it, because it's not gonna be a good ending if you stay in it a long, long time, because now you're gonna have to sort of fight to get out of that mess. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna go ahead and let you all go. Like I said before, you know, going deep, I wanted to say it was the first season, the second season. And then I talk about it again. So with the hoovering tactics. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go. And I'm going to talk to you guys later. And I think the next thing I want to talk about is unfriending. When you unfriend someone on social media, I think I will talk about that and then the next day or so, because I'm seeing a lot of that and I'm hearing a lot of that. And the funny thing about unfriending, when you unfriend somebody, let me tell y'all something. The person, she has no idea you have unfriended her. She has no idea. The only way she would know if someone says something did you see so-and-so, so-and-so? And then she go and look and she says she's unfriended. Sorry for coughing, y'all. But it was I was unfriended. I've been unfriended a lot. My niece unfriended me. My niece Destiny. Somebody had said something like, who was it? Somebody in my family said, "Oh, do you see this on Destiny page?" And I went to her page, and I was like, "Ooh, she unfriended me." Had no idea she unfriended me. She's not a niece that talks to me on a regular basis, you know. But unless she wants something, yeah, she talked to me. But she asked me about that. But other than that, no. I think the last thing I did for her was I was helping her. She needed insurance. And I was helping her get insurance. You know, she's young. She's 25. And I was helping her get insurance. I think that was the last thing. Her daughter came down for the summer, not to my house. I kept her for a week, but she went to her older sister's house, Destiny's older sister's house. And I took her places and took her out. And then we went shopping, the same thing I used to do with Destiny. And so I don't talk to her that much. And then one day, right last summer, someone said, "Oh, did you see that on Destiny page?" And I said, "Oh, let me go and see." And when I went to go see, that's when I realized she had unfriended me. So another thing, too, is unfriending or unfriended? What is it called? But anyway, I would talk about that. I would get more into that in the next podcast. And I might talk a little bit about, if you want to hear, about Destiny unfriending me. But I really can't tell you much because, like I say, you know, I really don't talk to her on a regular basis, even though I did her raising when her mother passed away. But I really can't talk to my nephew more than anything. So we will talk about that on the next podcast. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.